This is Digital Story Podcast number 554, October 18th, 2016. Today's theme is My Return to Iceland. I'm Derek Story. My first trip to Iceland was nearly a decade ago when I was there on assignment with the Lightroom 12. To capture imagery and test the beta version of Adobe's fledgling image management application. We were there in the summer, and the days were 23 hours long, and it was absolutely amazing. And now I return again, this time for another assignment. So it's going to be a couple of crazy weeks. And I just want to map it out a little bit for you, in part because it will affect the podcast to some degree, but in part because I want to talk about the equipment that I'll be taking both to the Eastern Sierra and Iceland. And in fact, I'm going to take the same kit to both. That's right, the Eastern Sierra first, and then Iceland. And then we'll talk about what's inside the bag, right? So here's what's going on. Thursday morning, I pack up the car and I head up to the mountains, and we're going to do our fall workshop up in the Eastern Sierra. This is a workshop that I have been so looking forward to. Fortunately, the storms will have passed. It's storming up there right now. Well, the storms probably have ended now, and we should have sunny skies the whole time we're there. And the Eastern Sierra in the fall is chilly. In fact, I'll tell you a story. So I used to go up there all the time for fall shooting when I was more of a camper. In other words, you know, a little tent, sleeping bag, all that kind of thing. Up until about September, it's not bad. I absolutely love it. One fall morning back in those days, it was so cold that, first of all, I couldn't sleep very well. And then when it was time to get up to make coffee, you know, the ground was hard, the air was cold, and I was moving slowly. And I said, you know, I think I need to make a little bit of an adjustment here. So that is what led to me buying the Vanagon. I saw this Vanagon in a neighbor's parking lot, and it was a weekender, which means it had a queen-size bed inside. The back seat folds out to a queen-size bed, and it had screens for the windows. And, you know, it was really a nice vehicle to get me up off that hard, cold ground in the Eastern Sierra and, you know, make life just a little bit better. And so I did. I bought that Vanagon years ago. And the reason why, the motivation for buying that Vanagon was those hard, cold mornings in the Eastern Sierra in the fall. So obviously you can tell, I'm not someone that's going to go climb Everest or anything. I love camping. I love hiking. I do both a lot. But there comes a point where it just gets too cold for me to have fun. And the Vanagon has helped with that. Well, fortunately, we won't be sleeping on the ground this coming week, because the air at night is going to be around 29 degrees or so, maybe a little bit less. And I'll tell you, there's something about 29 degrees in the Eastern Sierra that feels colder than that. It does. I don't know if it's the thinner air. I don't know if it's the wind. I don't know what it is, but 29 degrees in the Eastern Sierra feels much colder to me. But we're going to be inside the Silver Maple Inn at night, and I don't think we're going to do a ton of night shooting. Last year when we did it during the summer, we did a night shoot at Mono Lake. It was pretty cool. But this year, I don't know if we're going to do that because of the temperatures being what they are. So we'll be inside all warm and cozy looking at our pictures that we captured during the day. But this weather pattern that's that we're going to have there, which is clear and very cool, is actually great preparation for me then going to Iceland. And the way that's going to work is I'm going to do the workshop Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I come back to Santa Rosa on Sunday night, and then on Monday morning, I leave for Iceland. I catch a plane to Iceland. So I thought what I'd do, I'd just pack one camera bag, that was great for both trips and pretty much my suitcase too. I mean, what I'm going to do on Sunday night is come back, pull out the underwear and t-shirts, put in fresh underwear and t-shirts, and then take off again. Because I just don't have time to repack. So I have packed for both. And so that made it kind of fun. And actually, I checked the weather in Reykjavik, Iceland, and it's a bit warmer there than it is in the Eastern Sierra. So if I do okay during the workshop, then I'll probably be fine in Iceland. That doesn't sound right, does it? But that's just the way it is. And I think it's kind of humorous. So when I was thinking about packing and stuff, you know, I like to be organized. I like lists. I like all that sort of stuff. And I've really been digging the new Notes app for iOS, for the iPhone and the iPad. And one of the things that they've done with the new Notes app, and I don't know if you use this or not, I know some people absolutely love it, but it's a little yellow icon that looks like a kind of like a sticky note. One of the things they added was checklists. And it's just such a nice little app, and I can start the checklist on my iPad, and then I can play with it on the iPhone when I have an idea, and then I can work on it on the Mac, and regardless of where I work on the checklist, it just gets updated and propagated to all the devices. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make an equipment checklist for this trip. And for the trip right after it. In other words, for both of these trips. And what I'll do is I'll put down all the potential stuff just so I have a reminder in my brain of, you know, what I should be taking. And then as I pack an item in the bag, then I'll check it off on the list. And then I'll be able to review what I have and look for missing things. Now, if you've listened to podcasts when I was preparing for other big trips, such as Cuba, you know that I start working on my bag, my equipment bag, about a week ahead of time. So I switch out the bag that I'm carrying back and forth to work, you know, on my daily basis for whatever the gear bag is going to be for the trip. My thinking being that starting with the gear bag before I have to leave gives me a chance to vet it, make sure that I have what I need. And if I'm missing something, then hopefully it will surface before I actually get on the plane to take off. So I've been carrying around the bag that I'm going to take to the Eastern Sierra in Iceland for a few days now, and I still have a couple more days before I have to go. And it has been useful. I have been thinking of things that should be in there or debating about things that I put in there that maybe I should take out, you know, over this course of time. And I have been adding to the checklist. And, you know, it's really neat because I'll be sitting there on the couch watching baseball playoffs and going, wow, oh, good, yeah, yay, go team, all that. And I'll go, wow, I really should take an extra SD card reader because they're so small anyway, in case the one in my laptop, you know, decides to give out while I'm in the middle of nowhere. You know, little, you know, those kind of thoughts. So what I can do is I don't have to get up and go look for it at that moment. All I do is pull the iPhone out of my pocket. I go to the Notes app and I add that item to the checklist. And then that way, the next morning when I'm updating my bag, taking things out, putting things in, I'm checking the list. And those items that came to my mind in the middle of the night and during baseball games and all those other places, they're there on the checklist. And it saves me from, you know, having to actually do something at that given moment. Get up from the couch, which I probably don't want to do at that point, and, you know, go find it and do all that. No, just put it on the list. So the checklist has been really super helpful with this process, not only in terms of helping me over a period of time think about all the things that I might need, but also just get it out of my mind once, you know, I do think of it, knowing that I won't forget it because now on the list. So what I want to do right now is I want to tell you what I'm bringing this time, what my checklist looks like. And I have all sorts of stuff on it, but I'm only going to talk about the checked items, which are the items that are actually going in the bag. By the way, the bag that I settled on for this trip, because it's a little bit more of an outdoorsy trip, both in Iceland and the Eastern Sierra. I'm going to go with the Lowpro Protactic 350 AW. And that is the bag that I used for Cuba, and it worked really well. And one of the reasons why I like it is an all-weather bag, but everything goes inside the bag, even the laptop. Everything is inside. It's not the most ideal bag when you're going through TSA, because you have to pull your laptop out ahead of time, because it is inside the bag, is protected. But other than TSA, I really like it because, you know, the bags get thrown in the back of vehicles, they get thrown on buses, they get thrown all over the place. They're always being tossed around when I'm on these kind of trips. And that bag is really well made, and everything is inside, and everything is protected. So I really like it for that reason. It's really comfortable for hiking. The harness system is terrific, and it holds just the right amount of stuff. And you know, that's important, because if the bag is too big, over the course of time while I'm doing this checklist, I'm going to fill it up. It's just like a horizontal space in your home. If there's a horizontal space that's there with nothing on it, you will put stuff on it. And over time, you'll probably even fill it up. That's the way these things work. And camera bags definitely work that way. I don't want a bag that's too big because I know I'll keep cramming stuff inside of it. So I'm pretty happy with it. And then the third thing I like about it, it has three major access points, quick access points. It has a top access, and then it has access on both sides. And so what I can do is I put one camera on one side, I put the other camera on the other side, I can get to them quickly, and then I have the lenses through the top access. And so I can get to everything very fast without having to open up the whole bag, if you know what I mean. So if I'm in adverse weather conditions, I just open the side flap partway, pull the camera out, and zip it back up, and I don't have to worry about wind blowing stuff in there or snow or any of that kind of stuff. Same thing with the other camera, same thing with the lenses. So what am I putting in the bag? Oh boy, this is going to shock you. You're going to go, really? You're taking that? But I have traveled like this to some big destinations before, and it's really worked out well. So for the digital camera body, I'm going to take the OMD EM5 Mark II, my most dependable body, and it's also a weather-sealed body. And I think weather sealing is super important on this trip, on both of these trips. And I just love that camera. I'm going to have the Arca Swiss grip on it. So then I can just slide it right into the tripod. I don't have to fiddle around with quick release plates and all that kind of stuff. Now, I was tempted to bring the EM10 Mark II, which is the camera that I use a lot for street shooting. And I really dig that camera also. But it was really the lack of weather sealing that caused me to rule that one out and go with the EM5 Mark II. The weather sealing is a big deal. And that comes into play with the lenses that I chose, because I don't want to take big lenses. I don't think I'm going to need a lot of reach for this trip. So I wanted to have lenses that were also weather resistant, but that weren't too big. And so what that led me to was the Olympus 12 to 50 millimeter zoom, which I've used in the Eastern Sierra before. And I really like it. So it gives me from 24 millimeters wide to 100 millimeters at the tele end. It has a macro mode and it's weather sealed. So that's a nice little lens. Now, the only real downside to it is that it's f3.5 to 6.3 on the long end. So it's a lens that you use when there's light. I'm not going to be shooting at the telephoto end of it in super low light, because f6.3 isn't bright enough. But when I'm shooting with light, I can actually leave that lens on the camera all day, and I'm just fine. It's really a terrific lens. So I'm taking that one. And then the other weather-sealed lens that I'm taking is the 60mm f2.8. So if I do need something a little bit on the longer end that has a wider aperture, that 60mm f2.8, which is also a macro lens, that'll work great. It's a good portrait lens. It's a good all-around lens. And again, being able to leave it on the EM5 Mark II when it's raining or whatever is very, very helpful. And what I do on both of those lenses is I make sure that they have a UV filter on them, or a skylight filter, a high-quality one, multi-coated, because then it really is weather-resistant. because if it's raining or something and drops get on the front of the lens, I can just wipe off the lens with the bandana. I don't have to pull out the microfiber cloth and baby it and everything. I've got that filter on there. Just wipe it off really fast and keep shooting. And so having those protection filters on the weather-resistant lenses, I find very, very important. Now, when I'm just banging around, I'm going to have the 14 to 42 easy zoom, the pancake. And that, you know, that's just a great bang around lens. The more I use that lens, the more I like it. And it's the lens that I usually leave on the camera when I'm packed. And then I have a little bag that just fits, just the EM5 Mark II. So if I go out to dinner or something, I can have that in this very little bag with the pancake zoom on there. And if something appears, then I can get a good shot with a good camera. I'm taking the 9mm fisheye body cap. Have to have that lens. Always have to have that lens. It's crazy the kind of shots that you can get with it, and it takes up no room at all. Super essential lens. And I have that lens on any assignment. And then I'm taking, for my fast lens, I'm taking the Panasonic 20mm f1.7 prime. This is another lens that I'm just crazy nuts about. I love this lens. It's fast. It's sharp. I can have it on the camera, and again, it's a pancake lens, so it'll fit in just a little bag for going out to dinner or whatever. Terrific lens. So those are all the lenses that I'm taking. That's it. So the 12 to 50, 14 to 42 pancake, 20 millimeter fast, 60 millimeter macro, also fast, and the 9 millimeter fisheye. Now, as a backup camera, I'm not taking another OMD body. I'm taking the TG4 compact. And I'm taking that camera for all sorts of reasons. One is I have been in love with it, as you know, ever since I bought it. I bought a refurbished one. In Hawaii, it was great. But the geotagging, you know, the geotagging with that camera, the fact that I can shoot raw with that camera, it has a very good lens, a relatively f2.0 fast lens. It has built-in Wi-Fi, and that it's waterproof, crush-proof, you name it proof. It is literally a tough camera, so I don't have to baby it. It is just all around great. And that way, when I'm in these odd spots, then the geotagging feature will give me geotagged images that I can use to help identify the other shots that I take with the EM5 Mark II. And it's just a great camera to have in the pocket all the time, so no matter what happens, no matter where you are, you have a camera with a decent zoom on it and a camera that shoots raw and geotags ready to go. And it shoots video also, so that's really nice. So that is my digital gear right there. No super long lens, although I do have a long lens solution. For analog, I'm going to go ahead and take a Pentax. I'm going to take a ZX5. I'm digging that camera these days. It has a lot of great features, really light, not too big. And I'm going to put the Pentax F 35 to 70 millimeter zoom on it. That's a little macro zoom, F3.5 to 4.5, very sharp, very good performer. And again, it's about the size of a 50 millimeter lens. So I can have that zoom on there with macro capability, and it doesn't take up hardly any room at all. And then along with that, the only other lens I'm going to take, because I'm only going to shoot film in daylight, I don't need to worry about low light and all that. If I'm shooting low light, then I'm putting, you know, the Panasonic 20mm on the EM5 Mark II. That is a low light combination. I'm not going to worry about film in low light. So I'm going to take the Pentax F100mm F3.5, which is also a macro lens. I love having these lenses that have macro capability on it. And that lens is a great portrait lens, so I can use it for film portraits. And then I got an adapter for it. I got a Photodiox adapter for it. It was, I don't know, $25, I think. And I can adapt that lens to the EM5 Mark II. And so then I have a 200mm f3.5 for the EM5 Mark II. I have to manually focus it, but I'm not worried about that so much, because I'll be shooting, if I need a long lens, I'm not going to be shooting action photography. I'm going to be shooting landscape or people or whatever. So that's the way I'm getting around the long lens thing. And that Pentax lens is really light. It's very light. And again, it's compact. So it's going to double up. That lens will be both for my film and my digital camera. Interesting, huh? You're probably thinking, wow, what an oddball approach you're taking. But this kit, I tell you, it works really well. Let's talk about accessories just for a minute because, you know, they are important. So I'm taking a Joby micro tripod. And then I'm still debating on which full-feature tripod I'm taking. You know, I really want to take the Mi Photo because it's so compact. But I may take a little bigger tripod. We're working. I'll have some sort of tripod with me, especially in the Eastern Sierra. Now, when I get on the plane to Iceland, it'll probably be the Mi Photo, to tell you the truth. Batteries and chargers, spare memory card reader, polarizing filter, super important for both aspects of this trip because being able to slow things down with that two-stop density and then also being able to polarize the sky and foliage, very nice. And I'm going to take an ND filter also. So I have both a polarizer and an ND. I'm going to take the audio recorder because I want to record some stuff for the podcast. And I hope this works out so that, you know, you'll get some field stuff while I'm out in the field. We'll see. We'll see. But, you know, that's my goal. So I have the portable audio recorder I'm going to take. And if this works out, I think you'll like it. It'll be a lot of fun. The podcast should be interesting, to say the least, right? I have to take plug adapters for the trip to Iceland, the European plug adapters. And then, you know, the usual odds and ends. And then I am going to take my laptop because I am on assignment on the Iceland trip. So a 13-inch MacBook Pro. I'm going to take a high-capacity flash drive for backup. I am going to take the iPad mini, and I'm going to take the SD card reader for the iPad mini. So that's the Lightning connector one. So the iPad mini actually becomes my backup computer or my computer when I just don't feel like pulling out the computer. You know how that goes. The USB cords and chargers. And then I'm taking an international phone to Iceland because I want to be able to post to Instagram and, you know, do all that kind of stuff, you know, kind of keep you guys posted on what's going on. So I got my iPhone 5S unlocked through AT&T, and it's a really good little phone. It's not too big. It takes very good pictures, so I think it'll be great for Instagram. So I got it unlocked, and then I got a European SIM card that works in Iceland and throughout Europe. And that 5S now is just going to become my phone for Europe. And what a great way to go. I mean, I just like using that phone. To me, it has one of the sharpest, most pleasant screens of any of the iPhones. Having the 5S as my European backup phone, I feel like I'm in tall cotton. I have to tell you, I'm feeling pretty good about that. And then a few other items that I'll have in there, my passport, business cards, a pen and 3x5-inch cards. Bandanas are super important for these kind of trips because they are just so versatile. And when you have protection filters on your cameras, bandanas are great for, you know, just kind of draping it over the camera. If it's a weather-resistant camera, you don't need to use a bag. You don't need to mess with that. Just put the bandana over the camera when you're not shooting with it. Wipe off the front of the lens. Wipe off your face. Wipe off your hands. I tell you, they come in very handy. And then the usual kind of Boy Scout stuff, the Swiss Army knife, flashlight, water bottle, all that sort of, you know, survival stuff, a little extra food. Believe it or not, all of that, except for the Swiss Army knife, I can't take that in carry-on, all of that fits in this Protactic that slides easily under the front seat in an airplane, or easily in those real narrow bus racks that are above over your head when you're on a bus. All of that stuff fits in there. Now, the reason why I can get so much in there is because I'm not taking giant lenses and I'm not taking giant bodies. By going with the really small lenses and, you know, using them to their maximum potential and really thinking about which ones you need, then I'm really able to carry a wide variety of things with me. So I feel like that I can handle just about any situation. Now, of course, I'll be reporting on this while I'm gone and when I get back. And so we'll see how well I did. If you have any comments about this kit, certainly leave your 2 cents on our Facebook page where I'll put this post. Now, the last thing on this topic. So you're probably wondering, well, what is this assignment in Iceland? I can't tell you. Just like I couldn't tell you the first time I went to Iceland that I was there for the Lightroom adventure, because Lightroom wasn't out yet. It was in beta and we were testing it in Iceland. Well, something like that, but it's not for Adobe. And I can't wait to tell you about it. But I will tell you about it as soon as I can. And I think I'm going to be able to write about it right at the end of the Iceland trip. So that's my kit for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be in some very interesting environments, and I'll keep you posted, and you'll see the pictures of how this all goes. In the news. So this is an interesting Kickstarter program that I read about in The Phlebographer called the Flashporter. And the headline is, could Flashporter be the field backup solution of your dreams? And let me read you what they said on Phlebographer. Flashporter is a Kickstarter campaign aimed at doing one thing, creating the world's best field backup solution. The unit is essentially a small battery-powered memory card reader with a screen and built-in storage of varying capacity levels, somewhat Game Boy-esque in its appearance. The idea is similar to something like WD's My Passport Wireless Pro, but more advanced with multiple memory card slots, not just SD, and a built-in screen. The Flashporter also supports raw image display from most of today's popular brands, which mean that unlike the Toshiba and WD offerings, you will actually be able to see and interact with raw files on the unit. Such a key feature for us photographers. The Kickstarter campaign has 10 days remaining as of recording this. If you'd like to see this project become a reality, you can head over to the Kickstarter page. I have a link in the show notes, just I have a link to everything, to get more information and to support the project. So interesting, because I'll tell you, this has been a series of frustrations for me over the years. I have worked with the WD, My Passport Wireless, and I loved it until it died. And then when it died, I didn't love it anymore. And the RAV Power I have tried, and I like it, but it doesn't have a screen. It's not as sophisticated. And then there's all the earlier stuff I've tried, including modifying my iOS devices. The quest goes on, right? And is this the answer, the Flashporter? I don't know. But I do think it's interesting. I'm going to keep an eye on it. The Kickstarter prices are pretty good discounts. So if you're interested, use the link and go over there, or just look it up. It's called the Flashporter on Kickstarter, and see what you think. But if you're looking for this field backup solution so you don't have to carry your laptop when you're on long trips, is this it? Well, time will tell, won't it? All right, just a couple updates before I wrap up the show. A big thanks to all of our Patreon members and the new folks that signed up this week. Thank you so much for joining our inner circle. As I said, you know, I'm trying to make a transition now where I'm less dependent on outside companies and more dependent on just the work that I do, because quite honestly, with the market being what it is, it's too unstable, and I don't want to put our podcast at risk because some new CEO decides that, you know, he wants his buddy to do this work instead of, you know, one of us, instead of me. The Patreon thing is part of my strategy to move forward so that we're independent and so the podcast is safe and secure and I don't have to worry about running out of money and not being able to do it. So thank you for those of you that have signed up. And if you haven't signed up, I encourage you to do so. The 2007 workshop season, we're working on it. We're so close. But I don't want to make the preliminary announcements until we have some more details worked out. It will be soon, so stay tuned. And I tell you, Leah looked at me and she goes, wow. when we did the overview of the season. I hope you think so too. I'm very excited about it. Probably won't be next week because I'm in Iceland, but I'm hoping the week after that we'll finally be able to make that announcement. And then finally, I want to thank our friends at Red River Paper. You know what? I think I'm going to go to out of Chicago again, and I think they're going to send me again. That is the kind of company they are in terms of, you know, talk about supporting our effort here. Woo-wee. So I'm going to go talk about printing, I'm hoping, at Out of Chicago. The deal's not done yet by any means, but they said that they're open to it, and they're talking to the Out of Chicago folks. I haven't had any conversations yet. And that was my last conversation with Red River, and we're talking about some things that we want to promote during the holiday season. And we'll be talking about that coming up real soon. But I just want to tell you that, you know, they're really behind what we're doing here. They make great paper, and they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And I think the landing page has been updated now with a new deal. So I think you want to go over there and take a look at that. Boy, I tell you, if all of our sponsors were like them, we would really be in a good, secure spot. Red River Paper, great people, great printing paper, and the longest running supporter of the digital story. Alrighty, it's going to do it for me this week. So wish me luck. I think I have a good plan. I think it's going to work out. I'm excited for both trips. Can't wait to get to the Eastern Sierra. And you'll be hearing about it here. If things get disrupted a little bit timing-wise, just know it's because I'm on the road. But, you know, I really make every effort to stay on schedule and get you those reports from what happens on the road. Until next time we meet, I'm Derek Story. Have a great week. Bye-bye now.